You said that Gemara says that you can plant five different plants in a bed that's 6 by 6 tefachim, and it won't be kilayim. Right, the way Rashi learns, and that's the way we're going to learn, is that you plant on the borders, just don't fill up the corners, and those are separated not by space, but by direction. And even though they're very close together, and they get nourishment from each other, the amount of space you need, that there shouldn't be nourishment, Rashi says, is 3 tefachim, and there isn't 3 tefachim between them. But where's the picture? What's it called? Rashi's picture. I'll use the one on what's it called. In any case, you plant the four sides, leaving the corners empty. And yeah, the picture's here in the on Omid Beis. Except it's very unclear that the corners are empty. But you have to see that the corners are white and not colored in. Mamish the corner. So the plants are going in different directions. They're not considered mixed together. And the one in the middle is 3 tefachim from each side, with the place of the zera counted within the 3 tefachim on both sides. So that's what's it called. Chazal were the kimlu rabban. Let's start from the top of the daf. The chamisha b'shisa lo yanki ma'adodi. And the rabbanon established. They knew that the amount of yanika between two different plants, where there's no change of direction, where then if there's no other hecker, there's no visual hecker, then the hecker is a space that doesn't have yanika, not because the yanika makes it kilai, because in order to be separate, it has to be far enough away that it wouldn't be yonik. That's considered already a visual separation. So it has to be 3 tefachim. So they understood that five within bed of six, you can position the zroim in such a way that they won't have yanika, or that they'll be what's it called, in different directions, and therefore you can have five different zroim. Okay. Rashi in the Gemara. Totsi chad, simcha chad, zroa trei, tasmiya chad. V'shisha tfachim, the lekala melech mikra. We can't learn the 6 tfachim from the pasuk. Tosus, however, says that there is a way of learning the from the pasuk. What's it called? There's a pasuk that says, yeah, here, this Tosus. Menayin laruga shivav avav. Says, we learned that from pasuk. Lechoyov ka rugas habosim. Arugas habosim is a bed of aromatic plants. Lechoyov, he says, is lashon of luchos. And the luchos were 6 by 6 tefachim. That's how big the luchos were. The mele and aruga is also 6 by 6 tefachim. So there was a hint in the pasuk to that. In any case, Rashi says that we don't learn that from the pasuk, right? All we can learn from the pasuk is that in some area, right, a minimal area, because in a big area it's obviously no big chiddush, that you can plant 5 different things and it still won't be kilayim. Kimlu the rabbanan, and the rabbanan established, or they knew that the stam aruga hanizras b'hezaronim kachi midasa, the minimum amount that you could possibly have 5 different plants and not be kilayim, was what's it called, the chamisha zaronim b'shisa tfachim lo yanki, where there wouldn't be a separation in some of them in different directions, that it would have to be separated enough that it wouldn't be yonek. They knew lo yanki emtsoi shevaruchos mehadadi, that the middle one and the sides wouldn't have yanika one from the other. The shi yanikas kozera tefachu mechza, each thing by itself is yonek a tefachu mechza, and therefore if you have to separate, you have to separate a full 3 tefachim, that they shouldn't be yonek from the same spot. Right, each one shouldn't have yanika from the same spot as the other. That's the amount that you have to separate it im makom hazera, and that includes the place of the plant itself. Hare min hazera hanizra bigvul haaruga keneged hoemtsoi the ad hoemtsoi gimel tvachim. Therefore, you need 3 tvachim between the side furrows and the middle one. Umeelu hashnayim anu lemedim, and from those two we learn how the midos of the aruga, because you need 3 tvachim up, 3 tvachim down, 3 tvachim to the sides. That's 6 by 6. Umeil Hashem lemeid v'sover tana didan she nikas hazera tefach u'mechta. That each zera is yonek tefach u'mechta, and the other one opposite another tefach u'mechta. Altogether, three tvachim have to be separated, so they're not yonek from the same place. Midlo kava makom lezera hanizra etzel hagvul lahushivo etzel hakeren elathilu in bal lezoro keneged emtsiyasa zoro. Right, because didn't set a spot where the middle one has to be done. Right, even if it's mamish in the middle, that would be okay. Alma b'harchokas gimel tvachim sagi, with three tvachim between the two, the side and the middle is enough. The afagav l'ni kilayim hekera b'alma b'inen v'lo chayshin l'yanika. Even though we said that we are not choshish for the yanika, so why does it have to be separated enough that it's not yonek? Kiddushan the kamam b'shmais and gabi rosh tur v'gabi beishuros. Later on, we'll have these cases where the things are mamish right next to each other, but since they go in different directions, they're not considered mixed together. Miu hefresh zaroni aruga delo havi irbuv leka hekera b'botzer mishir yanika. However, where there's no other heker, where there's nothing else that visually you can see that they're not the same, they're not mixed together, then the amount of distance that you need to be considered not mixed together, it happens to be the amount of distance that there's no yanika. Not because of the yanika, because that's visually now enough space to be considered a separation. By those other cases, you can see visually they're not the same thing. They're mixed together. They're not mixed together. Therefore, the remez of the minimum area where five zaronim could be planted together and still not be mixed together has to be six tvachim by six tvachim, in order that the middle one and the side ones, which don't go in different directions, because there's no direction for a single plant, right? It goes in all directions, is what's it called, is six tvachim. Now the Gemara asks, Menolan dehod kimlu rabbanan milsahi. Where do we see, Rashi learns it, Menolan dehod kimlu rabbanan b'shir yanika milsahi. How do you know the Rabbanan could figure out how much a plant is yonek one from the other? Right? How far the nourishment of the plant goes. L'nishma chala, that we should rely on that. The lomer b'kiyin heina chachomim b'avodas adama. The chachomim were so adept at agriculture, leida kama yonkin, that they knew exactly how far the nourishment goes. Shaloti tamalomar miho dia labrio shir yanika veichyuchu lamanokein. That shouldn't wonder, right? Who told them, right? That this is a shir? How did they know that? How did they know that? So it always bothered me when I learned this Gemara. I think I have it a few times in Daf Yomi in my notes. Chazal had a lot of things like this. It's not the only place the Chazal had things that are hard to know how they knew it. Right? They knew they made halachas on chazakas and on how people think and how people do, and the svarim say, and even the Gemara says it sometimes. So Hashem liyareyav, right? Person learns Torah lishma. The Rabbanu Shem reveals to him secrets of the world, or even better than that, we say the Chazal knew the world from the Torah. So they saw the world. They saw these things from Torah. Torah is the blueprint of the world. They saw the world. So they understood these things. This is not the only place where Chazal said things about nature or whatever. Here the Gemara asks, how do you know if the Rabbanan, Kimlu the Rabbanan is an Inyan? And I saw Taka, that one of the Svarim brings down Taka, the same Kasha. Same Kasha, he doesn't have an answer. But this time I have an answer. Where the Gemara doesn't say how Chazal knew it, there's no Kasha. They knew it from the Torah, they knew it, what's it called, from Sod Hashem Liyareyav. But here the Gemara says, the Kimluhu the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan established it, meaning somehow they knew it not from the Torah and not from what's it called Sod Hashem Liyareyav. Otherwise, the Gemara wouldn't have mentioned it. The Gemara mentions over here Kim Lehu L'Rabbanan. Kim Lehu L'Rabbanan means that they established it. Now the Gemara says, if they didn't learn from the Torah and they didn't know it from Sod Hashem Liyareyav, they established it. How do you know we can rely on what the Chacham established? If the Gemara tells me B'Feirush they established it, then it's a different story. So this is the case where the Gemara asked it. All the other cases, the Gemara understood that Chazal knew it from the Torah, or they knew it from Sod Hashem Liyareyav. But here the Gemara says, B'Feirush, they didn't know it from that. Kim Lehu L'Rabbanan. They established it. It means they had to work on it, and they came out with this answer. So now, is that something to rely on? If they're telling you they didn't learn this from the Torah, and they didn't know it from Sod Hashem Liyareyav, then can we rely on that? Can the establishment of the Rabbanan be something you can rely on? Gemara says, yeah, because not only then, this is something you can be making, you can establish, I guess, scientifically or some other way. Domer Abchia, Gemara says, yeah. Amr Rav Yochanan, my dechsiv lo sasi gvul reyacha asher gavlu rishonim. Don't be masi gvul. Don't steal the boundary that the earlier people made. So even though the simple meaning is not to move the boundary lines and steal somebody's property, but it has a deeper meaning too. Another meaning. Gvul she gavlu rishonim lo sasi. My gavlu rishonim. What does that mean? That Don't uproot the boundary that the earlier generations made. Omer of Shmuel Nachmeni, Omer of Yonason, my dichsi. What does that mean? It means the following. See Rashi first. Gvul reyacha lita samuch lemeitzer lahachish karko. Don't plant too close to somebody to the boundary that you're going now to weaken the other person's plants because of the unique of your plants. Kishir asher gavlu harishonim. How much do you have to separate from the boundary so you don't harm the plants on the other side because your plant is taking nourishment from them, right? That is something that the earlier generations established. Umihem Rishonim, who are those early people? And Moroyim the Chivim, Shoyu Bekiim Bekach. The people who lived in Eretz Israel, the Amori and the Chivi, they were experts at knowing agriculturally exactly how much the plant gets nourishment from the ground. Could they ask you on the naysayer? As the Gemara is going to explain. What was that? Omer Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, my deceive elu b'nei seir hachori, yoshvei ha'aretz, that says, these are the children of seir hachori, yoshvei ha'aretz. It's a pasuk in Vayishlach, okay? The children of Esav and seir hachori, yoshvei ha'aretz. So Atu Kule Alma Yoshvei Rakiyanin, when these are the people who inhabited the earth, and other people inhabit the heavens. Why does that have to mention Yoshvei Haaretz? Of course they were Yoshvei Haaretz. And the Marsha points out that many times where it says Haaretz, it means Eretz Yisrael, the specific land. But here it doesn't mean that. So here Haaretz means the earth. So here the Gemara asks, what does Yoshvei Haaretz mean? Right? It means the inhabitants of the earth, everybody's inhabitants of the earth. So why does that have to mention it? They were experts in the inhabiting the earth. In other words, they knew everything about the workings of the earth. They would say that this land is good for planting olives. Mole konazelikvanim. This earth is good for planting grapes. Mole konazel letanim. This one's good for figs. Okay, Rashi. Mole konazel knei hamida shebo moldim akarka. They would say this area of land, right, is good for this crop. Okay, in other words, you take the measure and they measured it out and they said this area, this is where you should plant these things because it has the right kind of minerals. They were able to know which minerals were in the soil that was good for those plants. Lezayis roi legalization. This one's good for planting olives. The zelatena. This one for figs. Vayodim lahafrish es haaretz ben kona lekona. And they knew exactly at what point the nature of the soil changed. Where up until this point it's good for olives. From this point on it's good for something else. Berecha the taima. They knew it by tasting the earth. And by smelling it. And there are people today still do that. What's it called? They can taste the different minerals, and they can tell you if it's a good place for planting this or that or whatever. But they were experts in it. They could smell and taste the earth and know what it contained. And heichon lezeisim, heichon letenim, amele de bekiim hoi b'shiri nika. And therefore they also were bekiim in how far the nourishment went, because they had to be at the Eilu Medayik, exactly, this is the area where the plants will be getting their nourishment from soil that's good for them. And this is the point at which it's not good for anymore for that, it's good for something else. Rashi says, the Chori, why were they called the Chori? Shemeirichim es Haaretz. The Marsha says there are words where the letters interchange, Keves and Kesef, right? So Simla and Salma. Same thing over here. Chori and Meiriach. Right? Reach and Chori are just interchangeable letters. Shemirichin es ha'aretz. They used to be able to smell the land and know what kind of minerals it had and how far that extended, so the plant would be able to get nourishment that way. The chivi, and even though the chivi is the name of a nation, here it can't mean that, because the same person in Liva Bas Anna was Hachiti. Their genealogy was Chiti, not Chivi. And here it says on the same person, Chivi. So it can't be their genealogy. It must be that this was a description, an adjective that described these people. Amra Papa Sheyutom Misa Aretz Kechivya. They were able to taste the ground like a snake and know exactly what it contained. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Chori Shenasu B'nei Chorim Minichsehim. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said they were called Chori not so much because they were able to smell the ground, but Shenasu B'nei Chorim Minichsehim, Rashi Shenitritu Minachtlosan, Velahutzrichu Lavor Admosan, Tilsiu B'nei Esov Yiroshim. Right, Lamaisa, they were thrown off their Nachala, and the B'nai Esav conquered them, and they were free then from having to tend. They used to put a lot of work in their agriculture. Right, they were smelling and tasting the ground, and they knew exactly what to do, so they did it with great bother. And then they were conquered, and they were thrown off their land. They became free from all of that. They also became poor, but they became free from it. Okay, see Rashi. Shemeirichim, Soris is Ateva Vidorsha. Change around the letters, and like the Marsha says, that's normal in Torah. Sometimes you have a word where the letters are interchanged. It means the same thing. The Chivi, Lama Nikra Chivi, Shetoam Imis Ha'aretz, Le'ezet Dover Ru'uya. What it's fit for. Kechivyo, like a snake, Kenocha, Shemacholo, offer. The snake also eats, or offered, eats dust, so it's it gets a taste out of the earth. They also were able to taste the differences in the earth. Shenasim b'nei chorim minichseim, shenitru minachlosam, they were thrown off their land. V'lo hutzrichu lavor admosam, they didn't have to work it anymore. B'nei Esav yirashum, b'nei Esav conquered them and threw them off their land, and they were then b'nei chorim, they were free from having to bother so much with their agriculture. Okay. So therefore, you see that these goyim were able to do that, so the chacham were able to do it too. It's not something you need sod Hashem liyareyav or to learn from the Torah. And therefore it was possible for the Rabbanan to establish this without the Torah and without sod Hashem liyareyav. So if the Goyim could do it, there's a way of establishing it naturally. And the Rabbanan did it naturally too in this situation. Why they couldn't learn it from the Torah and why it wasn't sod Hashem liyareyav could be that the only things they had to learn from the Torah are things that you needed special limud for. Something you could establish scientifically. They learn scientifically. We have to do it with other methods. Do it regularly. Anything you can do regular. Something you need, something that's beyond nature, so then you rely on something beyond nature. The things you can do naturally, do naturally. I think that's the answer. Okay, let's go on. Now, that was a brief vacation from all this. Now the Gemara is going to get into a lot of complicated cheshbonos. Om Rav Asi, Aruga Tocha Vav Chutz Migvuleha. This Aruga, this bed, is the inside dimensions are 6x6 Tfachim. And that's aside from the Gvulos, aside from the border around the Aruga, which separates it from other Arugos. And we'll see in a second how big the border is. Tanya Nami Hachi, Aruga Tocha Shisha Gvuleha Bekama. The inside of this bed has to be 6x6. How much is the perimeter around the bed? Kidisman, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rochev Kamali Rochev Parsa. It's wide as much as a foot. And that is what's called one tefach. Okay? Omer Abzei Rabbi Yisem Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, my time at Rabbi Yehuda, where did he know that the perimeter around the outside of the bed, which you need basically to irrigate it. You have to be able to walk around the outside of the bed to tend to it. So how much do you need walking space? Just like the foot is basically a tefach wide, so too, so you need to be able to walk, like on a tightrope, around the Aruga to be able to service it. So you need at least a tefach wide. That's the minimum amount to be able to walk around the aruga and service it. And that's what's it called? The shkisa baraglecha. Therefore, it's kemole rocha parsa. It's the width of a foot, which is a tefach. Okay, Rashi. Omravashi, aruga, shenemru, shetzricha lios vav, chutz migvulecha. It has to be six tvachim aside from the gvul that goes around it. Shoyu menichim baruga karka cholok, svivos hazria. They left a border around the planted area of a tefach, an empty area, lemakom disha, that you could walk there and tend to the aruga. You're not going to walk on the plants. Tishumashka hazroim, when you irrigate the zroim. Mahalach bigvulim, you walk on the border. You don't walk on the plants. Vashmuina ravashi, dlotema vav imagvulim. Don't make the mistake to think that the six includes the gvul. It's in addition to the gvul. In addition to the area that you walk around, you need six tvachim inside the plantable area. Sheniach tefach cholak lekan, the tefach cholak lekan, lo tehe aruga mokam yinikasa ela arba, vein hefresh benim tzolah shenegda etzol agvul ela tvachayim, and you'll make the mistake to think that the 6x6 includes the gvul, not aside from the gvul. And then, when you take off a tefach on each side from the gvul, you only have four tvachim on the inside. And you'll only have two tvachim between that and the sides. And then the yanika will only be total two tvachim, not three tvachim. Don't make that mistake. Right? Count the bed as 6x6, not counting the tefach all the way around. That's what Rav Ashi is telling you. Don't make the mistake to include the gvul, the border, as part of the 6x6, it's 6x6 aside from the outer border. And then you come out to three tvachim of yinik. Bekama, kama rochman, lios aruga kehilchasa. So how much is the total bed, including the border? The tehe olea toras aruga, lechol dvoreho, and then it should have the din of an aruga. The nafkamina is, there are dinim that apply to an aruga, and there are dinim that apply to separate plants. And how much is considered a bed that it has all the halachas that apply to an aruga, and it's not considered like just separate plants planted together, and you deal with the plants as separate plants, you don't deal with them as a bed. Later on, the Gemara will say differences of what an aruga, certain halachas of aruga, and halachas that are non-aruga. What's considered an aruga, right, that has all the dimensions necessary to be considered an aruga, that is the inner part and the gvul together, that makes an aruga. Kidla kamon lahati rosh tur, yerek hanichnesla, vayotzi vimeno, techilesa kishiura, lochoshev, lohevi lekule sode. If it doesn't have the minimal dimensions of an aruga, which is the minimal field, right, that bed is considered a field, then it doesn't have the halacha anymore of a field. It has the halacha of individual plants, and the halachas are completely different, lagabe kilayim. So what is the minimum measurements of an aruga? Parsa, so we learned already that 6x6 on the inside, how much is the gvul? So the Gemara says, another rochav parsa, the width of a foot, to walk around the perimeter of the aruga. Parsa's regular foot. Tishkisa baraglecha, lahatin al ksefecha, mayim, you put the water on your shoulder. The haloch baraglecha, svilasen, you walk around the perimeter, lashkosa, in order to irrigate it. So lomeli lemichtav raglecho. Why does it say you walk with your foot? Everybody walks with their feet. Why does the Torah have to mention foot? Lomer shemakum mahalcho lashkosa kashir regelhu. The amount of the perimeter is the width of a foot. Okay, so that is Rav Ashi. Omer Rav. Rav said aruga bechurba shaninu. No, you don't need the perimeter. Because we're talking about an aruga bechurba, okay? It's talking over here, not an aruga amongst other arugos, okay? But look at the picture down here, right? Aruga, this is an aruga amongst other ones. So it borders other arugos, right? Rav says it can't be talking where the aruga is bordered by other arugos, because it'll be a problem. In a second we'll see. It has to be talking about aruga that's surrounded by no fields. It's bechurba.
It's in an area that's totally barren. It's just one dead by itself, isolated from everything else. Because if this aruga is bordered by other ones, between this one and the other ones, there'll be a problem. There's not going to be enough space. See you in one second. Rashi, Omarav, aruga bechur b'shoninu. The Mishnasenu lahatir bohezaronim. Avalosh v'sivoseh arugos. When our Mishnah says that you can plant five different things in a bed, right, that's only where this is an isolated bed. But if it's surrounded by other beds, then it's not going to work out. Shaharei lo pirshu lecho ela hefrish zaronim shebesocha. Because we're only concerned in the Mishnah of the distance between the different plants within this bed. The imtizra arugos vivosea, but if you're going to plant other beds around it, lo sucha laharchik bein osom shebesocha velizroa osom shebarucho so aruga somach likvu laharchika mino entzoi kishiuro. Because then you're going to have to worry about how close it is to the bed next to it. So if you have all the right measurements for this bed, it's going to be a problem for the next bed. Because if you plant the whole side, right, this side, and then you plant the bed next to it with the side, there's only going to be two tvachim separating. Each one has a perimeter of a tefach. So you're going to have two tvachim separating between this side and the other side. Okay, the picture is not a good picture because the picture is on the answer of how to work it out differently. But in any case, so what's going to happen is you're going to have, what's it called? If you put another bed next to the one on Amud Beis, right, you're going to have a perimeter of one tefach around this bed, a perimeter of a tefach on the other bed, and then the plant going the same direction. So you're going to have two tefachim between plants going the same direction. That's going to be the problem. So therefore, our Mishnah has to be talking about an isolated bed. It can't be talking about a bed surrounded by other beds. L'fishato makrivo etzol zera hanizra b'chaverte etzol gvula. She'ein b'neim ala shnei tvachim. Shal gvulei haruga v'anan gimel b'ina. If you're going to have one bed close to the next bed within two tvachim, you're going to be too close. So it can't be talking about a bed amongst other beds. It has to be talking about a bed that's isolated in the midst of a barren place. Samara says... V'ha'ika makom kronos, amre be'rab, mishmei de'rab, b'mamale es ha'kronos. Right, Rashi says, v'ha'ika makom kronos, mai duchke, de'lo la'okme ba'aruga ben ha'arugos, mukefes mikol tzad, gimel arugos, shein ches kazeh. Now the Gemara asks on Rav, why can't you set the Mishnah up that it's talking about an aruga that's surrounded all around by other arugos? Okay? So it's in the middle, there's one on each side, one above, one below, and then those also have a round. Why is that impossible? And you'll still be able to separate very nicely between all of them. How? You'll be able to plant five different things in each one. Look at the picture. You'll be able, instead of planting the whole north side and each side by itself, you'll just plant by the corners, okay, halfway. So this one you'll plant, what's it called, north and south. Look at the top, the top right-hand corner. So you'll plant on the left side of that aruga, right, up and down. The next one you'll plant side to side. Okay, so they're going different directions. Even though there's two tvachim between them, you don't even need two tvachim. Right? It's fine. There's no irbuv because they're going different directions. Then you'll plant the bottom corner going side to side and the one next to it up and down. Okay, so you'll have no problems. You can plant five in each one, but you'll just do it in the corners so you'll have different directions in where they have common sides. And if you look at the picture, you'll see no two sides are going the same direction. And the middle one, which is going the same direction because it's going in no direction, it's just one individual thing, right, is three tvachim away from any other plant. So you can have an aruga that's surrounded by arugos and still have the dimensions that you have separation that's either because the things are going different directions or there's enough space. So what's the problem? Why did Rav have to say that the aruga is isolated, because otherwise you won't be able to do it change the picture. Plant it a little bit differently, and you'll be able to do the same thing. You'll be able to have five things. If you plant it the way we said in the beginning, where this whole, except for the corners, this whole thing is planted, then it'll be a problem, because the one next to it will go in the same direction. But if you plant it the way that this is done, there's enough of a separation between each one.
I was not concerned that this gives you about half the produce and half the yield of the... the amount they're not interested in right now.
According to Rashi, not. That's one of the tainus they have in Rashi. Not the same amount. Okay, but we're not going to get into this. This is a Rashi lens. That's why there are other shot. One of the reasons. Vayika b'chol aruga makom kranos v'yoseha. There's this corners. The atzer yochol ahamshich zera garin shetizra b'tzad gevulon shalzul v'tzafon v'zula garam shalzula mizra v'zula mayra. Since you're planting on the corner itself, you're able to make a distinction between each aruga in the way the things are planted. Lezros and garinim eitz lakronos. The inich tzarech lahamshich and mikineged osun shebechaverum bifnim ela hefresh tefach. You only have to separate a tefach, like we have by the other picture in the corners. Because once it's a different change of direction, a tefach is enough. V'amai omer av baruga shebechur b'shanin. Why did Rav have to say that this aruga is isolated? You could position the grain, the plants, in such a way that you could have the same dimensions and have it surrounded. So the Gemara says, Amre be Rav, Mishmei the Rav. So Rav's yeshiva answered for him. The yeshiva of Rav answered in the name of Rav. The Mamali is Hakronos. That it's talking where you want to fill up the corners. Okay? The Mamali is Hakronos. Rav Moki Masnis, Mamali is Kol HaRuach Shal HaRugal Itzof Min HaMizra. He wants to set the Mishnah where you have the whole, what's it called, Ruach, except for a Tefach, filled up. Not part of the Ruach. What he wants to have is what's it called, where you have the whole area here filled and the whole area here filled, and therefore if you're going to put another, like we have the beginning of the first picture. So therefore, you're not going to be able to plant things on the side because they're going to be going the same way. So you're not going to be able to have a thing surrounding this one because inevitably they're going to be contiguous to the in the same direction.